The second decontamination procedure was similar to the first. Hall's yellow clothing, though he had worn it just an hour, was incinerated. They stepped into the first total immersion pool. Instructions on the wall told Hall to keep his eyes open underwater. Total immersion, he soon discovered, was guaranteed by the simple device of making the connection between the first room and the second an underwater passage. Swimming through, he felt a slight burning of his eyes, but nothing bad. The second room contained a row of six boxes, glass-walled, looking rather like telephone booths. Hall approached one and saw a sign that said, "Enter and close both eyes. Hold arms slightly away from body and stand with feet 1 foot apart. Do not open eyes until buzzer sounds. Blindness may result from exposure to long-wave radiation." They dressed and took the elevator down to level 3. There were 4 nurses waiting for them. One took Hall to an examining room. It turned out to be a 2-hour physical examination, given not by a machine, but by a blank-faced, thorough young man. After 2 hours, he rejoined the others and proceeded to level 4. 4 total immersion baths, 3 sequences of ultraviolet and infrared light, 2 of ultrasonic vibrations, and then something quite astonishing at the end. A steel-walled cubicle with a helmet on a peg. The sign said, "This is an ultra-flash apparatus. To protect head and facial hair, place metal helmet securely on head, then press button below." There was a single brief, dazzling burst of white light, followed by a wave of heat that filled the cubicle. He felt a moment of pain, so swift he hardly recognized it until it was over. Cautiously, he removed the helmet and looked at his body. His skin was covered with a fine, white ash. And then he realized that the ash was his skin, or had been. The machine had burned away the outer epithelial layers. He proceeded to a shower and washed the ash off. When he finally reached the dressing room, he found green uniforms. Another physical. This time they wanted samples of everything. Sputum, oral epithelium, blood, urine, stool. Finally, he was brought back to Stone and the others. Stone said, "We have 6 hours on this level. That's protocol waiting while they do the lab test on us, so we might as well sleep. Down the corridor are rooms marked with your names. Further down is the cafeteria. We'll meet there in 5 hours for a conference." Delta Sector was the designation of 3 rooms on level 1 that contained all communications facilities for the wildfire installation. All intercom and visual circuits between levels were routed through there, as were cables for telephone, teletype from the outside. The trunk lines to the library and the central storage unit were also regulated by Delta Sector. In essence, it functioned as a giant switchboard, fully computerized. The 3 rooms of Delta Sector were quiet. All that could be heard was the soft hum of spinning tape drums and the muted clicking of relays. Only 1 person worked here, a single man sitting at a console surrounded by the blinking lights of the computer. There was no real reason for the man to be there. He performed no necessary function. The computers were self-regulating, constructed to run check patterns through their circuits every 12 minutes. The computer shut down automatically if there was an abnormal reading. According to protocol, the man was required to monitor communications, which were signaled by the ringing of a bell on the teleprinter. When the bell rang, he notified the 5 level command centers that the transmission was received. He also required to report any computer dysfunction to Level 1 command should that unlikely event occur.